Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. All right. Back with Eddie and Rocky. Rocky, a lot of city government going on, a lot of county government going on, a lot of regional politics going on. We need a guest.
Yeah. And look, specifically on the PG trial, as if the trial hasn't been crazy and some crazy things have come out about it. Today it was put on hold because of COVID, right? Why not, right? Why not?
It's a freak show already. I mean, why not? Yeah, throw another log on that fire.
Right, but again, I think over the last couple months, and we're seeing even more come out in the trial, it's just showing how, you know, just how corrupt counsel has been and just some of the dealings and the inner workings. So we wanted to get someone who was a former member of counsel on just to kind of tell us what it's like serving down there, what are the politics of city government. And we have joining us right now Betsy Sunderman. She's a former city council member, I believe, from 2020 to 2021. She's now running for domestic relations judge. Betsy, how are you?
That's right. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great, Betsy, and let me start off and ask you, and this is really a broad stroke here, but what did you see there that made you kind of shake your head? Did you get any clue that this kind of thing was, you know, backdooring through there?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I thought I knew politics before going to City Hall. I mean, I was raised in politics. My dad's a judge. I've always hung out with judges and I've worked on probably 50 campaigns in my life, but City Hall is totally different than any politics I have experienced. Yes, there were definitely a lot of dirty things going on. I got on city council a few days after Tamaya Dennard got indicted. So it was all kind of coming out as I was getting onto council, and we were all kind of on high alert to not meet with developers and things like that. But yeah, it's definitely very shady at City Hall.
Bessie, one of the things that that really stuck out to me was it seemed like, I mean, look, the nature of government, if there's a board of trustees or people on a city council, you're supposed to be independent. You're supposed to make decisions, but the people elect you to make the decision that you think is best. But you're not supposed to be a bunch of colluding. There should be no, like, grand plan, really, about the direction that you're supposed to go or you're supposed to vote. But it seems to me that was what was going on council. It was like there's this whole network, and as we're all kind of moving this way and we're colluding with each other behind the scenes and we're talking, and even though we shouldn't be talking, versus everybody independently judging and ruling things the way they think they should.
Yeah, well, that's what I did. But a lot of the other people outraised me when it came to fundraising because they weren't doing that, right? How can I compete with that? In the court system, when you get a bunch of lawyers sitting around debating a case, we're debating the law. You never hear someone say, well, do you think this person will be mad if I rule against them? Or do you think this person will donate money if I rule in their favor? I mean, that just doesn't happen in the court system. That's what I'm used to. But at City Hall, it's the opposite. People would come to me and say, oh, I just want to let you know I'm changing my vote. I knew I'd tell you I'd vote one way, but now I'm going to vote the other way because these people are mad, or, you know. I said, that's not a good way to vote.
Well, and Betsy, did you ever look at something and go, what are you, really? I mean, you just kind of glazed over there a little bit, but did you ever look at, don't even have to get into specifics, but did you ever look at something and go, what in the world is going on in this place? These people are nuts.
Yeah. I mean, mostly with things that Greg Lantzman would write, honestly, I would go to him and say, this doesn't make sense. You know, what are you asking for? And he would usually say, oh, I didn't write it. Someone else wrote it and brought it to me, and I just presented it. And I'd say, okay,
wow.
Well.
Wow.
And that's why very often in city council, you'll see that when I would ask questions of other people who would propose things, they would never be able to answer my questions, or I truly believe that a lot of times people didn't even read their own proposals before walking in because other people had written them. So, I mean, this happened with P.G. Sittenfeld, too. I would ask him follow-up questions. He would give a very eloquent speech about an issue. He's very good at giving speeches. He's very persuasive. But then as soon as I would ask a follow-up question, he would not like that. I mean, he would get very angry with me. He would shut it down and say, you know, why do you hate these people? And I'd say, I don't hate anyone. I'm asking you a follow-up question. Why don't you have the answers to any of these questions? So I'm curious to see how that plays out in the courtroom. We'll see.
Betsy Sunderman's our guest, former city council member now running for a domestic relations judge. Betsy, and I don't know how much you can or want to speak on this or not, but what were your impressions of P.G. Sittenfeld and how he operated? And because we're hearing a lot during this, it just seems like he always had a master plan. There was like a whole, he was looking way down the road in terms of his political future and the planning and getting the right people and making sure they had enough money get donated and the PAC so he could donate money to people so they would then back him. What was your impressions of him?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he is a good politician. I mean, he's very good at convincing people that he believes in what they believe in. He's very persuasive. He's really good at schmoozing people. He's a good fundraiser. But I think some of us who go into politics do it because we have some internal motivations. We have our own beliefs that we want to... we do everything based on our internal beliefs. And then I think there are other politicians who do everything based on external pressures and different groups and who can give them the most money or who will be upset with them or who can help promote them the most. And that's a lot of politicians. And that can be really frustrating because different council members totally flip-flop on things. I mean, some of them even have the nickname flip-flop, especially the streetcar people, right? One day they hate the streetcar. One day they love the streetcar.
Right.
It's all based on external pressures, donations, all of those kind of things. I know Jeff Pastor came into me the day before one of the streetcar votes, and he said, I'm changing my vote. Now I'm voting for it. And I said, okay, why? And he said, oh, because all the people who flipped their votes last time got a lot of votes when they ran. And wow. I said, okay, Jeff, you know, that's one way to vote. I said, those aren't the kind of things I think about when I vote, but.
Now, Betsy, did you get the impression that was everybody for themselves down there? It wasn't for the common good, in other words.
I mean, when we had the whole Gang of Five situation, that was definitely a group of people who voted together on everything. I think now on council, you probably have 8 people who vote together on everything. I wouldn't compare them ethically in the same way at all. I don't think they're being unethical now. But, yeah, I mean, when you have 9 people and 5 of them have an alliance, then the other 4 people really mean nothing, right? So that's not good government.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they're lending each other money and all kinds of shady things, right?
Wow. And speaking of that, I want you to talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room of politics, and that is fundraising. You know, I was a trustee. You know, I ran a race, and you had to fundraise. But it wasn't as big a deal as it is, obviously, as you get higher and higher into politics and seemingly what it was at city council. Just explain how that is and just the inner workings of it and the importance of it and how some people view it versus how some people view it and go about it.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, fundraising is my least favorite part of the job. I think even the people who raised a ton of money, it's their least favorite part of the job also. I mean, there's a skill to it. There's an art to it. My rule with fundraising is that I never, ever would talk about city business and fundraising on the same day with one person. So if I met with someone about a city issue, and then at the end of it, they made a joke like, hey, is your fundraiser going to call me? I'd say, nope. Or if they said, oh, you know, thank you for helping me. When's your next event? I'd love to donate to your campaign. And I would say, you know, those are two separate issues. Today, we're only talking about this city issue. If you want to talk about fundraising, I can call you a different day, but I want to make sure that the two issues have nothing to do with each other. Yeah. And I know when I started on council, Amy Murray told me, never, ever meet with a developer by yourself. Always make sure a member of your staff is with you, so you have a witness to every conversation. So, I mean, I always did that. And, you know, someone had just been indicted, so we were on high alert anyway. But I didn't have developers doing fundraisers for me, you know, that kind of stuff.
What about developers named Vinny dressed in, like, Versace right. suits and like, stuff that are anybody with a brain knows that's probably an FBI foreman? That's one of the funnier parts of the stage.
One of the guys standing in the background of The Sopranos is now wanting to meet with you, and nobody's heard of him.
Yeah, I just want to know why I never got offered a bribe, right?
No one, every time, feel left out.
No one invited me on a yacht. No one tried to give me a bag of cash. I'm kind of offended, you know? Why not me?
With that, Betsy, we will let you go. And, yeah, wouldn't that kind of bum you out, though? It's like,
wait a minute, he got to go
to South Beach in a private jet and hang out on a yacht, and what? I ain't got squat here.
Yeah. Somebody, I like yachts.
Somebody bribe me, for God's sakes.
I guess you don't ever try to bribe a former prosecutor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were smart enough not to do that. But let me ask you, it's in closing here, Betsy, before we let you go, what do you see playing out in the PG situation?
Well, I cannot comment on the trial because I am running for judge and we have judicial rules. And some of us stick to all of the ethics rules. I know it's hard for some people, but I'm good at following the rules. But we'll see what happens. I know they had to continue it today. The rumor I heard is that it was a juror who had COVID. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll see what happens. And I guess it'll be PG's turn to put on all of his witnesses.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So I'm excited to see how it plays out.
All right. Yeah. Betsy Sunderman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You take care.
Thanks, Betsy.
Betsy Sunderman, former councilperson and now running for judge. And I love that. That is funny.
She was candid. That was good. Yeah.
Well, when you're sitting there talking about, you know, somebody, hey, bribe me, try to bribe me. And her being a former prosecutor, it's like, they were smart. At least those people are smarter than that to try to bribe a former prosecutor. Come on, man.
Right. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Yes.
All right. We check in with traffic now. Rob, what is going on?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Urology provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit uchealth.com for details. If you're heading on to 74 from 75, roadwork has the left contraflow lane closed, and that is over to Coleraine Avenue from the join with 75 there at 74 westbound. A metal plate has shifted in the road on Glenway Avenue at Gilsey. That's got the hole in the road exposed there, and an accident downtown Plum at 7th and on southbound Central Parkway before West Liberty. North 75 add an extra 10 minutes between 275 Erlanger and the Brent Spence Bridge. Congestion at the join with the Norwood Lateral, then some steady traffic out of Lachlan to Sharon Road. North 71 slows between Ridge and Stewart. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low of 74 tomorrow, partly cloudy at 92. It is 91 now, News Radio 700 WLW.
Some superheroes turn big and green. Some talk to fish, but only one. 1. Get your day started right.
Me, Mike McConnell.
Mike McConnell. His super morning powers enable you to get the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports. Plus business news, the latest from Washington and London, and that legendary superhero charm.
F-U-N.
Join him each morning for a new adventure. Mike McConnell, your morning hero. Tomorrow morning at 5 on 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Red Pilled America.
You don't know about the illegal immigration crisis.
Five.
Eddie and Rocky getting into this holiday weekend. Man, the world's going to shut down, you know, about noon tomorrow. If it hasn't already.
Yeah, we may just come on tomorrow and just make noises into the microphone and call it a day. Or drink heavily during, I don't know, one or the other.
I'd say both. When we drink enough, we'll just be making random noises and people, you know.
There you go.
Good luck to you. So, Rocky, we're always talking about doing goofy, you know, people do goofy stunts and stuff. The kind of stuff that David Blaine used to do, you know, when he
would. Oh, yeah. Street magic?
Street. Well, but, you know, I mean, he started doing those weird stunts. Remember that where he stood on top of a pole? Did you see that
one? Yeah.
It was like I don't even think it was a yard in diameter, and he stood up, you know, 100 feet in the air for like 3 days or something. This guy in Dubai, he's an English version of that, I suppose. Adam Lockwood is his name. He snuck onto a construction site in Dubai where there's a giant crane on top of a giant building. And it is, he climbed the crane without anybody noticing. I don't know how. So about, it was 1,280 feet above the ground. He covered in grease from climbing up the thing. There was grease everywhere to make the thing work properly. So he's dangling from one hand, and he took a selfie of himself hanging off of this thing from almost 1,300 feet. 77 oh God, stories. Think about that, dude. Yeah.
There's some people kind of like that. I've seen these videos of these people that they'll just, I guess it's their thrill rush people, and they'll go on to the top of a whatever, you know, 30-story building and, you know, do a backwards flip on a ledge and then, or jump from one building to the other sideways. And it's like, you realize if you don't make it, you die, right? That's
he said, my hands and my feet and hands were slipping on everything I touched. And then he said, hanging off things doesn't feel like much. Dude, you were hanging from about 78 stories above the earth with your hands all greasy.
I try to approach life as a risk reward proposition. Now, the reward of that doesn't seem great. Now, if you tell me on top of that crane up there, Rocky, and you got to climb up to get it, but there is a bag with $1 million cash in it, I may kind of try to go up there and get it, probably not even then. But you know what I'm saying? But for a picture, I definitely am not doing it.
You got to figure that he's monetizing this, though. You know, now he'll get a TV special. Now he'll get a documentary. Now this and that and the other.
But I feel like there's nothing guaranteed with that. Yeah, there's nothing guaranteed with it.
Well,
not me.
We're talking about him here on the radio in Cincinnati, and he did it in Dubai, so halfway around the world.
On us.
We got news now. News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
A court challenge putting one abortion ban on hold for now. With the 3:30 report, I'm Sean Gallagher, breaking now. A lawsuit brought 3 days after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, challenging Kentucky's trigger law that banned abortion, has led to a circuit court judge in Jefferson County placing a temporary injunction on that law, allowing abortions to resume in the Commonwealth at this time. The ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the EMW Women's Surgical Center in Louisville filing that suit, arguing the abortion law violates the Kentucky Constitution. Governor Andy Beshear says he approves of the judge's ruling, calling Kentucky's trigger law one of the most extreme in the country.
Attorney General or
or the GOP claiming that the trigger law is not extremist is a little disingenuous. I mean, do they believe that it's not extremist to remove every option from rape and incest victims? Will they look them in the eye and tell them that?
Attorney General Daniel Cameron releasing a statement responding to the ruling saying, quote, we cannot let the same mistake that happened in Roe v. Wade nearly 50 years ago be made again in Kentucky. Now the latest traffic and weather together.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Urology provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit uchealth.com for details. Roadwork has the left contraflow lane closed westbound 74 between 75 and Colerain Avenue. A metal plate has shifted in the road on Glenway Avenue at Gilsey. The hole in the road there is exposed. Accidents on Plum at 7th and South Central Parkway before West Liberty. 75 add 10 extra minutes northbound between 275 Erlanger and the bridge. Congestion at the join with the Norwood Lateral, then some steady traffic out of Lachlan to Sharon Road. Southbound slows out of Lachlan, then from Western and Findlay into the cut in the hill. And North 71 slows Ridge to Stewart. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
Now the latest forecast from the Train Heating and Cooling Weather Center on News Radio 700 WLW.
Slightly warmer today, high 90, mostly clear. A few more clouds this evening. Partly cloudy tonight, low 69 for your Friday. Afternoon showers expected, maybe some thunderstorms with a high of 90. More chances for rain this weekend. From your Survey Weather Station, I'm 9 First Warning Forecaster, Raven Richard, News Radio 700 WLW.
Radar showing a sunny sky right now. Our current temperature, 93 degrees. The P.G. Sittenfeld corruption trial on hold until at least Tuesday morning after the judge announced this morning there was a COVID-19 related issue with no further details provided. The defense was set to call several witnesses today, but it remains unknown if the former city councilman will take the stand. A former Hamilton County Sheriff's deputy going to prison after being convicted on child porn charges. Ronald Vest pleading guilty to two counts of pandering sexually oriented matter involving a minor and was sentenced this week to 5 years behind bars. He has already served more than 400 days since his initial arrest in April 2021. History made today as Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in as the first black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Jackson taking over the seat that belonged to Stephen Breyer, who is retiring. As the court's current term comes to an end, more rulings coming down today. The EPA no longer has the authority to enact sweeping regulations to combat climate change. In its ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court curbing the agency's power to limit greenhouse gas emissions by overhauling the coal industry and moving toward green energy. Instead, the high court said in its 6-3 ruling that the EPA can only regulate specific physical power plants themselves. Environmentalists say the case has serious implications for the government's ability to manage climate change.
700 WLW Sports.
College football, there are multiple reports today that Southern Cal and UCLA are set to join the Big Ten Conference as early as 2024. Reds update. Reds and Cubs wind up their series tonight in Chicago. 700 WLW's coverage begins at 6:05 of Sports Talk, 7:05 with the Arnell Carriers Inside Pitch. Partner with a family-owned LTO provider at RLC.com. Kelsey Chevrolet extra inning show after the game. Soccer, FC Cincinnati will host Chivas Guadalajara, an historic Liga MX club, at TQL Stadium in a friendly match Wednesday, September 21st. Bill Dennison, 700 WLW Sports.
Final half hour trading on Wall Street currently. The Dow down 207 points, NASDAQ down 114, and the S&P is down 24 points. News a service of Serval Electric and Wood Sander Ford. Our next update is at 4 o'clock. I'm Sean Gallagher, News Radio 700 WLW.
This is Chris Broussard. Here's what's trending from the iHeart Sports Network.
Presented by Staples Stores.
Brittany Griner's wife says the WNBA star is terrified and struggling while awaiting trial in Russia, renewing pressure on the U.S. government to get her out. The Reds try to rebound and bag a series win tonight against the Cubbies. Cincinnati sends Graham Ashcraft to the mound in the rubber match. And FC Cincinnati remains in position for their first MLS playoff berth, taking over sixth in the East after last night's draw with New York City. I'm Scott Davidson.
Staples has your workspace cut.
Well, you having never seen Blazing Saddles, you've only heard it like ninth hand through SEG. What in the wide, wild world of sports is going on around here with the Big Ten, Pac-12? What? There is nothing. There's no Pac-10. There's no Big Ten anymore. What?
Well, it's absolutely crazy because they're saying now that USC and UCLA are in talks to join the SEC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. In the Big Ten. Now, if you know where USC and UCLA are, they're way out on the left coast. Most of the Big Ten teams are all the way on the right coast, right?
Well, that was the whole idea. They're all Midwest teams. They're all within, you know, not
right
driving distance, but certainly close.
But nevertheless, I guess the Big Ten presidents and athletic directors met last night, and possibly as early as 2024. And I just saw another tweet from Nicole Auerbach, who does a really good job covering college sports. And she said, I'm just looking, trying to look up the latest. She's saying right now it's basically all but wrapped up. Okay, USC and UCLA's move to the Big Ten is all but wrapped up, sources say. Could be announcement later today. Wow.
So, now, Willie told me that it was like half of the Pac teams. No, he was saying Washington, Oregon State, whoever.
So that's the next domino to fall here. His sources are saying that what this is going to, this is like the big move that's going to preclude the eventual lead to two mega conferences, basically the Big Ten and the SEC.
Right.
Each of those conferences with 20 or more members apiece. Okay. So it's like, I mean, there was a really epic shift in conference realignment here this past year, right? I mean, of course, UC and UCF and Houston going to the Big 12. The Conference USA basically got blown up. They, you know, three of their teams went to the Sun Belt. Some other teams went here. Some other teams went there. Then, of course, Oklahoma and Texas said they are eventually going to join the SEC. Okay, so all this sort of shifting is happening. And guess what it comes down to, Ed? I'll give you one guess.
It can't be money, huh? What could it be?
So here's what it comes down to. I found this this chart here, and it's basically listing the average payout to each team in each conference. Okay,
gotcha.
Through 2029, from 2022 to 2029. So right now, if you're an SEC team, okay, each SEC team makes about $57 million. Okay. That's not bad. I think, like, for instance, I think reports for UC is going to make like 30-something being in the Big 12, right?
I remember something like that figure.
Something along those lines, 35, 38, something like that. Well, by 2029, it's according to this chart, and this is if certain things fall in place. There's a 12-team playoff, and there's this, and, you know, contracts getting renegotiated, but it's projecting that by 2029, the SEC, each team will make about $118 million. Jeez. Each Big Ten team will make about $101, $102 million. Okay, so you have those two way at the top, and then 2029 has the Pac-12 making about 63, ACC making 61, Big 12 making about 57. Now, none of those fact numbers there are a bad day at the office, right? But when the SEC and the Big Ten are double that,
right,
you can see why a USC and a UCLA are saying, hey, we want to be in the Big Ten because this is where eventually the money is going to lead us to. It seems to me this line of thinking and looking at charts like this is what really pushed USC and UCLA to join the Big Ten, because other than that, it makes no sense, absolutely no sense other than that. I mean, logistically, it's an absolute nightmare. And I was saying this with Willie. I mean, I'm sure, are people on the West Coast, USC fans, looking forward to the USC at Maryland game that starts at 9 a.m. Pacific?
That's what I was wondering.
And for the players and the fans and the trips and all that. And I look, that is doable and acceptable because it's big. It's a big sport, and the money's so much that who cares? You got to travel across the country. But I mean, what if you're the girls' field hockey team? Do you have to get, how much money does it cost to put them on a plane, travel them across the country, put them up for 3 days, bring them back in a sport that already doesn't make money? I mean, football and some basketball teams turn a profit. Other than that, every other sport costs money. So how much money is it going to, I mean, all those peripheral sports, soccer, baseball,
softball, absolutely,
field hockey, sure, swimming, gymnastics,
tennis.
I mean, and it made more sense. I mean, look, if you're just getting on a bus and you're traveling down the road, you're in Lubbock, Texas, and you know, okay, you get on a bus and you drive to Baylor. Okay, fine, we can do that. But, man, that's a lot of travel for those peripheral sports.
Well, and also people talk about, well, you know, Ohio State fans travel well, whoever, you know, pick a team. But traveling for the Rose Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or one game a year is one thing. To go to the West Coast,
right,
at least once a year, every year, is going to get a little old.
Yeah, sometimes twice. If you're going to, if UCLA, well,
that's what I'm saying.
USC,
if you have to play UCLA and USC out there, there you go.
Yeah, I guess, again, this is all, there's a lot smarter people than I getting involved in this because they're seeing where the landscape is going. Because other than that, the eventual money is just so large, so massive, as I just discussed. I mean, $118 million.
You flash $120 million under people's noses, stuff, wow. Stuff changes right quick.
But for the coaches, I think they got to be. I mean, look, Lincoln Riley. Okay, he was the head coach of Oklahoma. They were in the Big 12. Well, Oklahoma and Texas decided to go to the SEC. Lincoln Riley saying, I don't want to battle it out against, you know, Auburn and Alabama and Georgia and all those teams all year. I'm going to go to USC. We'll play in the Pac-12. And if we beat up that conference and play a decent out-of-conference schedule, we'll be in the college football playoff every year. And now they're coming to him and saying, well, coach, your schedule might have got a little bit tougher here and a little bit harder to deal with. I mean, that's that. But I guess, again, just I think teams don't want to feel left out. They feel like if they don't, okay, well, play it safe and let's stay in a conference that may be a little bit easier. Eventually, they're just going to get left out of the whole deal. And it's making them make these sort of seemingly drastic moves.
All right. With then let's check in with traffic now.
You know what?
Please. Oh, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why don't we just have all 7,000 college schools be in one conference?
That's it. Just reach in a hopper and pick a team and go play them that weekend.
Well, because then it becomes what conference? The Big Ten saying, well, yeah, we can do that. Everybody join the Big Ten. The SEC saying, no. We're the SEC. We ain't bowing to nobody, Jack.
They have just, so it's trashing tradition, man. They're just, absolutely, it's all money.
Well, yeah, yes, it is. I mean, it's all debt. I mean, let's stop thinking in our terms, because they're reinventing this for the future. This has absolutely nothing to do with anybody remotely associated with our generation. Shoot, even with Rock's generation, it's going to be a whole different game. Like you said, Rock, what, 2029, I think you said?
2029.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a whole different world in like six, seven, 8 years.
And with travel today, you're going to send the team out on a plane and they're all going to have to Uber back individually.
I just wonder at what point do they just say, look, let's stop this whole charade about, you know, the kids got to go to school and earn a degree. And let's just make this essentially what it is, which is an NFL farm minor team. League kind of thing.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of money. It makes a lot more money than the Birmingham Bulls or whatever it is. And let's just go about it that way. I mean, the kids are making money for your NIL. Right. Yeah. So, I don't know.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Urology provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit UCHealth.com for details. They're doing some road work on westbound 74. It's got that left contraflow lane closed between 75 and Coleraine Avenue. Now, an accident on North 75's ramp to 74. They're working on that metal plate. It's shifted in the road. Glenway at Gilsey, exposing the hole in the road. Police activity right now has Bay Miller Street closed between Dayton and Bank Streets. Also, Dayton Street closed between Freeman and Lynn Street. Add 10 minutes on your travel north 75 from 275 Erlanger to the Brent Spence Bridge. There's congestion at the join with the Norwood Lateral, then some steady traffic out of Lachlan to Sharon Road. Northbound 71 slows between Ridge and Stewart. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low of 74 tomorrow, partly cloudy at 92. It is 91 now, News Radio 700 WLW.
Hey, neighbor, you're heading for the airport. Got a big vacation trip?
We're going to a couples-only all-adults resort in the Bahamas.
Now, that sounds like a romantic getaway.
The sun, the surf, and no kids.
Plus a little romance.
Yeah, that too, but mostly no kids.
But don't forget to take 700 WLW along.
Of course not. That would be crazy.
If you've got a phone, you've got us.
We have a phone.
Listen to 700 WLW's live stream on the iHeartRadio app.
Make this the year you go to our iHeartRadio Music Festival. Let's
begin. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com.
A weekend full of superstar performances, never seen before collaboration, and once-in-a-lifetime moments you'll have to see to believe.
Friday, September 23rd and Saturday the 24th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Buy your tickets now at AXS.com.
This report is sponsored by Red Pilled America.
You don't know about the illegal immigration crisis until you listen to Red Pilled America. This week we...
Eddie and Rocky warming up to the, it's one of those weird long weekends. You know, we got the Monday thing, but I think everybody starts checking out about, oh, I don't know, yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I just come, I pulled into the parking garage today. I think there might be 12 cars down there.
Right. And look, I hope everyone out there, God willing, you get where you want to go when you're supposed to be there. Because, I mean, I was seeing earlier, it was already like 437 flights today were canceled. 2,000 some passengers. It's just a absolute nightmare. But in other news, Ed, what is the grossest thing you've ever eaten or drank?
Oh, man, I'd have to think about that for a minute. I don't know. You go ahead and I'll think about it while you're talking.
Well, would you drink beer made from recycled toilet water?
I get, you always get these stories that I see the headline of and I go, what the what?
So, a story like this, I'm clicking on it, brother.
Go ahead.
It's all me.
Please.
Yes. So there's a beer made from recycled toilet water, and this is in Singapore, of course. The alcoholic beverage is a collaboration between the country's national water agency called PUB and a local craft brewery called Brewworks. First unveiled at a water conference in 2018, New Brew, which is what it's called, went on sale in supermarkets in late April. Quote, I seriously couldn't tell this was made from toilet water, said Chu Elon, 58, who purchased the beer from a supermarket.
Dude, what did you think it was going to taste like? Just like, wow, this tastes like, you know why?
Yes. Let me give you an idea. His quote goes on. I didn't mind having it in the fridge. I mean, it tastes like beer, and I like beer. New Brew uses new water. Okay, which is Singapore's brand of drinking water. And I looked this up. So apparently, I don't know what the water situation over there is. Apparently not good. So all of their drinking water is made from recycled sewage, which started like in 2003 to improve the island's water security. And PUB says the new beer is a part of an effort to educate Singaporeans on the importance of sustainable water use and recycling. The idea of processing sewage into drinking water was once largely resisted, but has gained support in the past decade, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know, Ed, you walk into your local Kroger there, and there's all kinds of beers on the shelf there. Are you going to pick the one made of toilet water or the other 50 brands that are in the fridge?
Well, you know, at least you're eliminating a step when it comes to drinking beer. Because it just becomes sewage almost immediately, you know, a half hour later. So I guess you're just eliminating that step and just going right back to square one.
I mean, look, obviously it's treated and it's all
I
bad,
get it but, all, but it just if you don't, if you didn't know, I'm sure if you didn't know that's where it came from, you wouldn't think about it, right?
Right.
Let me put it this way. I hope you can't taste it and go, what in the, what is this? I mean,
well, yeah, it's not even the taste. It's more like, is there some, you know, microbe in there that's still kind of floating around? And, you know, a lot of disease and bacteria and whatnot reside around, that's called toilet type stuff.
In sewage, there's disease and stuff in there? Huh.
Yeah, imagine that. But, so...
I don't know.
Next time you're in Singapore, Ed, go ahead and get you a new beer.
I haven't been to Singapore in about a minute. Maybe it's about time to go back and check me out some new beer.
Next time you want to go into the Witness Protection Agency, you can go to Singapore and get you a new beer.
I'll tell the FBI, I'm not going to Singapore because I ain't drinking no poopy.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Bonus. That's bonus. Enter it now.
Eddie and Rocky, we're tracking down our guest right now, Mark Johnson. He is the president of J-Par Real Estate. Many, many branches all over, especially like west of the Mississippi. But talking about right. the housing market and how it's... seems to be cooling off, Rock. Well, it's like the stock market, right?
Right, exactly. And all those things are hand in hand. But, yeah, of course, people are right now thinking, hey, is now the time? It's becoming obviously more of a buyer's market now, right, where, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was a seller's market. People were getting crazy prices. But folks are like, should I buy that dream house I've always wanted now? Or that piece of property I've always wanted, should I do it now? Or do I wait 3 months? Do I wait 8 months? That sort of thing. But you know, you and I were talking before the break about how hot the real estate market was a couple years ago. And I had explained to me like this, and I'm anxious to ask our guests if this is the real reason, but someone was saying, who's a real estate person, was, you know, back a couple years ago, everyone was getting all that COVID money, right? The average yes. person was getting $1,400 times three. And then, yeah, you add in however many kids you got. So everyone was getting some money. But people that owned businesses, some through all the PPP stuff, were getting lots of money, right? So, and they probably didn't even need it, right? So all of a sudden, they took that money and said, you know what? I'm buying that place in Aspen or that place in Florida, all that sort of thing. So all that and everything just kind of trickled up from that. And so everybody had money in their pocket from all the stimulus that was putting out there. And you want to buy a property because you can't do nothing else with it because you can't travel. You can't go anywhere, right? So let's invest in property. And just made the market go all goofy. And I think it's now kind of coming back to settling back to normal a little bit, but may continue to drop, especially as inflation continues to increase.
Well, that's the deal. It is a market, and according to this article I'm reading, it's not a market crash, kind of a market correction. Actually, not even a correction, basically just getting back to where it should have been all along. It's not the right. bubble bursting, it's like the bubble is just gone now.
Right, right. Well, and it's supply and demand. I mean, look at, you know, California. Everybody wants, you know, or at least at some point, thought about living in California because look, it's the most beautiful state in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
It's also goofy, right? And it's very expensive to live there. So, you know, a lot of, you know, housing prices were through the roof, but people are like, I can't afford this anymore. I gotta leave town. So they left town, they went to Florida, went to tax-free states, went to Nevada, went to Idaho, all that sort of thing. Well, then it kind of cools back down, prices go back to normal. And I think a similar situation like that happens around the country, right? There's a lot of, you know, there's not much inventory, so that makes the price go high. Then people say, I can't afford that. They move somewhere else. They move on. All of a sudden, then those prices start to drop back down to normal.
Well, you were talking about California, and this was, shoot, I bet you it's been 20 years ago. Deb and I were out there, and we're there in the wine country, and that's beautiful area, but there's a lot of little towns around there. So I said, this might be kind of a cool place to retire sometime. Buy it. Let's maybe look at a house to buy here. And you know, whenever, 25 years from now, we'll move out here. And so it just so happens that the guy who we're staying at this bed and breakfast and his wife was a real estate person. Go figure. And So we're chatting one day at breakfast, and I say something about it. She goes, "What do you do?" And that's when Deb was still working in TV. Oh, I'm a radio guy. She's in TV. And so she automatically thinks that we're trillionaires. Right. And because we all are, duh. So I said, "Yeah, well, we're thinking about looking at some properties out here. If you wouldn't mind sending us some stuff." And she goes, yeah, we've got some. I was like, you know, just something kind of small is basically what we're looking at. And so she sent me, she goes, "Well, I don't know if you guys think that this is right for you, but it's like," she sends us like, say, five houses. And the prices started at like $1,750,000, and it was like the house I grew up in Huber Heights in Dayton. It was a 3-bedroom ranch on a tiny little lot, but that's $1,750,000, and that was 20 years ago. Oh my god!
Wait, so it didn't have a wine vineyard in the backyard sprawling hills?
Nope. You're right next to like a drag strip or something.
flight path, yeah.
Right. Well, Rock, we do have our guest now to discuss, so we need an expert opinion on this. Mark Johnson, president of JPAR Real Estate. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to hear your voice.
So, Mark, we were talking amongst ourselves here. So what is going on with the housing market right now? Is this has the bubble burst? Is it just a cooling off period? What are we looking at?
Well, you know, the biggest thing to look at is all real estate is hyper local. It's what's really happening in your listeners' community. But on a national level, and then we'll drill down locally, you know, we've seen one of the biggest hikes in mortgage interest rates, making, you know, the average home purchase $350 to $400 more per month than it was just a few months ago.
Right.
That's absolutely impacting. Yeah, that's making a big difference for the first time home buyer.
Now, so look, a lot of folks right now are trying to, everyone's trying to play the game, right? If you're selling your house, you want to sell it at the height, right? And people are like, "Well, if I wait another year, if I wait another 3 months, am I going to lose money?" And if you're a buyer, you're like, maybe you want that house you've always wanted or that piece of property you've always wanted, but you want to get it at the low end of the market. So project out 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, what are you seeing with that?
Yeah, well, so the first thing I think we have to talk about is houses aren't like stocks. We all need a place to live, to grow our families, to have a place to come home and, you know, have the man cave or the woman cave or whatever cave you may have. And so homes are a little bit different. We need a place to live and build community. So it's not like we're buying and selling a stock or a car or that kind of a thing. But we are going to see increased prices throughout the next 3 to 5 years.
Really?
And we're already seeing, yes. And we're seeing that price appreciation start to slow, not as rapidly as it was, but there's still.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
In most of our communities, there's only 30 days of inventory available. And to have a more balanced market, we need 4 months. So there's a 3-month gap.
Jeez.
And I can go into what's driving that difference.
Please.
While we're seeing an increase in inventory each week, it's still not enough to keep up with demand.
So why is that? Explain that. That's interesting.
Yeah, a couple reasons. One, the millennial generation is still the largest group in its prime household formation years. Recently, you know, there's been 12.3 million new households have been formed, but only 7 million new homes built. So right there, there's a big gap. Then you have the second biggest group, the baby boomers, who are living longer, staying employed longer, and now they're wanting to either move out of the family home and downsize. So you have the two largest demographic groups moving around in housing. So the fundamentals are totally different than we've ever experienced.
So that,
we have 3 to 5 years of strong demand coming ahead.
So we're talking to Mark Johnson here, and Mark, I read an article not too long ago, and shoot, you might have been associated with it, talking about that very thing, that millennials and baby boomers, they're kind of clashing right now because the millennials are trying to buy a starter home and the boomers, like me, are trying to downsize. So we're both going after those same smaller homes.
Same
is
house.
Is that correct?
Yeah, and then the outlier is you have inflation. Real estate has always been a hedge for inflation. And so now you have these investors, Wall Street investors that have big money going into communities and buying up homes. So the boomers and the millennials are bought out before they can get in. So you have this third wheel coming in that has never traditionally been there.
Well, yeah, and I've read about that too, and that upsets a lot of people. You know, you like to think the person selling your home or buying your home is someone who's from the community and kind of knows what's going on. But yeah, it's a lot of these humongous real estate firms around the country are going in and just buying up hundreds of homes in a community, right? Because they have the inventory where they can do it, and they're selling them and making some nice profits.
So this is an interesting fact. Smart money right now is buying real estate, and these investors are smart. You know, could they put their money in stocks? Could they put their money in bonds? Could they, you know, they're going to deploy their money somewhere. Right now, they're deploying their money in real estate because it's a great hedge against inflation. Real estate has always been a solid hedge in an inflationary environment.
Yeah, between that and the stock market, there's nowhere to. It's the best place to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, so your listeners, if they're even thinking about selling or buying, should speak with a local, hyper-local expert who knows the neighborhoods that either you live in or you want to go to. You know, there's a couple of key drivers that really don't change. Jobs, and jobs. So communities that are attracting and bringing in jobs. Communities that are attractive to millennials. Communities that are attractive to baby boomers, you know, looking to maybe wind down. You know, all of these factors are important.
So, Mark, what I'm hearing from you is if you're hesitant, you've seen all this, the turmoil going on in the economy and in the stock market, et cetera. If you've been hesitant and that's made you maybe take pause, don't hesitate. If you want to sell, sell. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly, because nothing good happens when you wait, right? And so we all, you know, home is a different thing. It's not just an investment. It's where we've grown our families. It's where we've grown old together. It's all of these things. And so first we have to have a place to live that we like, love, and enjoy in a community that we want to be rooted in. And then secondly, you know, there's some recent studies that show home ownership creates wealth at almost 40 times that of a renter. Jeez. And rents have gone through the roof so much that it makes the rent versus buy decision, you know, even more compelling. So, you know, you just have to work with someone who really understands your local market and where you want to be. There's lots of options. The good news is over the last 12 weeks, we've seen inventory increase each week. So there's more and more options coming available. Those buyers that just 3 months ago, you know, couldn't get an offer in, now you're more likely to win.
All right, Mark Johnson, thanks so much for being with us. That is great information. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, my friends, and all the best to you and your listeners.
All right, take care, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Johnson, you can find him at jpar.com.
So Ed, if you want to sell that house and get the new one, I guess time waits for nobody. So go ahead and do it.
$1,750,000. That's where the bidding starts. I've got to buy that house out in Napa Valley.
but here's what'll make you sick though. Let's say you did buy that home for $1,750,000 20 years ago. What could you have sold it for now?
Oh, that's believe me. Well, we were offered this makes me sick to this day. And this was probably about 25 years ago, I'd say, in Lake Tahoe. Deb's friend, that's the reason we started going out there to Lake Tahoe, is that her friend that worked at Channel 9 let us stay. He and his wife had a house out there, and he let us stay at his house for free. So nice. He and his wife were getting divorced, so he offered to sell it to us for, it was a crazy good price. But we were just buying the house we're in now. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to double down on mortgage.
Two houses.
And she's pregnant with our second child.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this ain't the time to be buying an investment property. And I saw, I bet you it was 2 years after that house that it sold for two times what it had sold for 2 years previous.
Wow.
So I can't even imagine what that house is worth now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what they always say. Property, they're not making more of it, right? Especially in desirable locations, bingo, beaches, waterfront, all that.
So we check in with traffic now. Rob, you seem like Mr. Monopoly guy. You look like that guy wearing the monocle and the top hat in Monopoly. I bet that's kind of your spirit animal.
I look more like him in the get out of jail free card. My little striped jumpsuit.
I haven't played a good game of Monopoly in a long time.
I used to hate it, but my daughter brought her Scooby-Doo version of it over to the house.
Oh, good.
And we played it about 2 weeks ago, and it was a blast. We had a great time.
The only thing about Monopoly is, if you're playing with people who kind of know what they're doing, then that can last for like a week.
Yeah, and that's not fun. I'll pass on that
that's
one.
That's not fun.
But you get a bunch of people who aren't good at it. It makes you feel like you're smart.
Well, and you can cheat, too.
That's true, too.
Which I used to do with my kids.
Oh, my God. You cheated against your kids.
I wanted to avoid a four-hour game of Monopoly with four-year-olds.
That's true. You're actually helping them and everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to be banker. Okay. I just bought Boardwalk and Park Place. Why, Dad? Because I'm the banker. That's why.
Yeah. Somehow this extra $500 bill will appear to my sack. Right. That's a little...
The banker gets a higher salary, kid.
Exactly.
Oh, we got major problems on 275 in Northern Kentucky from a single accident. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Urology provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit uchealth.com for details. It's an accident that's got the right lane blocked on eastbound 275 before the AA. The backup goes towards 75 on the eastbound side and westbound to 471. And that's also backing up on south 471 to the Southgate exit. We'll keep our eyes on that one for you. It could get worse before it gets better. There's an accident on North 75's ramp to 74, and they've opened up the left contraflow lane there on 74. Police activity continues to block Bay Miller Street between Dayton and Bank Streets, and Dayton Street's closed between Freeman and Lynn. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low of 74 tomorrow, partly cloudy at 92. It is 91 now, News Radio 700 WLW.
The Cincinnati Tri-State Area, a unique and proud place to live. We're the home to the first professional fire department. When we think about a three-way, we're thinking about chili. And when we need to better understand local problems or just desire a good laugh, we listen to Scott Sloan. He also thinks about three-ways. I bet he's doing it right now.
Join me, Scott Sloan, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Fresh Time Market.
Get ready for summer.
Scott Spower joining us, and it's that time of year, Ed. It's 4th of July weekend, and there's a great event going on in Northern Kentucky called the Holiday for Heroes event. It benefits family members in terms of scholarships of for first responders. And Mitch Kotzbauer joins us right now. Mitch, how are you, buddy?
Good, brother. How are you?
We're doing good. So here we are again, another event here this year. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Man, it's right back on top of us. We started 17 years ago with a much smaller event, and we're doing scholarships, like you said, for the children of police officers, firefighter, military families. We have two events a year, sometimes three. Right now we're doing the Holiday for Heroes celebration for the 4th of July in Burlington, Kentucky. It's $20 a person to get in, $50 a family. Once you're inside, everything's on us. We've got tons of stuff for the kids, face paint, things of that nature. DV8's playing. We've got a Bud trailer in my driveway. Rosie's fireworks. Eli's
me
barbecue.
Too.
It's insane. It really is.
So this is something that, Rock, didn't you host this thing a few years back?
I did. Yeah. It was a great time. It was a nice hot summer day, and like Mitch said, there's a humongous Budweiser truck in the driveway there, and all the food you can eat, band, and then at obviously as it gets darker out, then and the most amazing, you know, non EBN fireworks show you've ever seen, right? I mean, it is a really, really high level fireworks show, and it's really, really a lot of fun, and again, raises money for a good cause. Very cool.
Yeah, it's a great family event. We encourage everybody to come out. We've got tons of sponsorships that have jumped on board with us. And this year we also started our Operation Tattered Flag. So we're trying to push that pretty hard this year and get some businesses to jump on with us. And that's becoming a big success as well.
So what does that mean, Mitch? What is Operation Tattered Flag?
So we paired with and partnered with the sheriff in Boone County, Mike Helmig. And we had several deputies talk about driving through their communities and seeing worn out, tattered flags still on display that need to be retired. So we hooked up with Allegiance Flag Supply out of North Carolina. And we bought some flags, and basically what we're going to do is the deputies that are on patrol are going to have the ability to approach homeowners and say, hey, your flag's looking a little rough. It needs to be replaced. I'd be more than willing to take that from you. I will dispose of it properly, and I'll give you a new flag in its place.
That's cool.
Very cool.
That's a great idea.
Very cool.
Yeah, really, as far as I know, hasn't been done, or at least anywhere around here. And then veterans, if guys and come across veterans on calls that don't have a flag, you know, we'll do our best to get them. They're 3x5 flags. They're super high quality. It fits our mission. It fits the time of year, and it's just been awesome.
So, Mitch, if people want to get involved, what can they do?
They can contact the Sheriff's Department, and they'll get in touch with me in Boone County, or they can go to our website, which is www.holidayforheroes.org. It's a small program right now. As everybody knows, things are expensive right now. Flags are not cheap. They're made in America. They're very, very high quality. And if anybody wants to partner with us and get this thing really going, we'd really appreciate it.
Very cool. Hey Mitch, how's our boy Pat Dunn doing? Is he doing all right?
Man, he still lives behind me, and we'll leave it at that. No. Pat's a good dude.
Great.
He's getting ready for the event just like the rest of us, and it's a crazy week. We just see each other in passing because you've seen it out here how it's set up. There is so much going on, and we only have a week to do it, and our neighbors put up with us, so we're grateful for that. But it looks like the weather's going to be awesome too, which we were a little concerned about early in the week.
Mitch, how many people do you expect?
We shoot for 1,000 every year, and that's a lot of people in your backyard. I can tell you that. You know, we've been coming off COVID the last 2 years, so our numbers have kind of been down. And this is going to be our rebound year. I can feel it. We got good weather. We got a great band. COVID's gone for the most part, and we're going to have a great show and a great time.
Very good. The event is the Holiday for Heroes event, Mitch. And if folks want to find out more about that, where can they go?
They can go to holidayforheroes.org.
All right, Mitch.
Very good, brother. Have a great event, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Stay safe.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, good luck with that. And that's a great cause. And I remember you saying that you had a blast at that thing.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it goes, you know, most of the day, but you're never more than arm's length away from a sausage or a beer or, a shaved ice or whatever. You name it, man.
See, I love that. That, to me, That's 4th of July right there. You know, you get some Mets brats, dogs on the grill, ice cold beer, bam. What else is there?
Yeah, get nice and sunburned. Yeah, it's as good as it gets, right?
How easily, you know what? I've never asked you this. You being a ginger, how easily do you sunburn?
Very. I put the SPF 50 on pretty much every time I leave the house now. If I'm going to be outside, like later on, we got football practice, I'm going to douse myself and that stuff before I head over to the field. Yeah.
I'd love to see you at football practice with the kids. You got a big floppy hat on with the that zinc, what is it? Zinc oxide on your nose. And
like the lifeguards.
Like a lifeguard. Yeah. We check in with traffic now. Rob, you seem like the burnable type out there in the hot sun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it. Like, we went out on Brookville Lake a couple of weeks ago, and I got scorched. But then I get suntan easy for the rest of the summer. Just get one good burn in, and then...
I don't think your dermatologist would tell you that that's the best idea. But I'm with you because my wife hates me. Because she go to a tanning booth and all that stuff and really doesn't get all that tan. I can go out in the sun for an hour, go out and do yard work or whatnot. I'm tanned the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll be bright red and I'll come in. She goes, oh, that's going to hurt. Next day, all brown.
Bam. I've got nothing on top and I hate wearing hats. So I will get absolutely scorched.
Ooh, yeah, what little coverage I have up there ain't doing me much good anymore. I will say that.
I just got to the point where it's like, give me the razor, gone.
Nice.
Yes. From the UC Health Traffic Center, the UC Health Urology Department provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit UCHealth.com for details. Couple of problems on the highways. One, eastbound 275 before the AA, an accident blocks the right lane. Traffic's backing up towards 75 and westbound to 471 and almost to Grand Avenue now on southbound 471. There is an accident now on northbound 71 before the Norwood Lateral. It's got the right two lanes blocked, and you're looking at close to a 15-minute delay from toward Dana. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low of 74 tomorrow, partly cloudy at 92. It is 91 now, News Radio 700 WLW.
Hey kids, listen up. Time for another story from Uncle Willie's Big Book of Great Americans.
Today, it's Charles Doolin, the Taste of America. With a $100 investment in gold on American hard work and perseverance, Charles Doolin created an empire by giving Americans what they really wanted, snacks. Thanks to his red, white, and blue vision, we all now can enjoy Fritos and Doritos and Cheetos and Ruffles and various bean dips. So when you savor a salty treat, say thanks to Charles Doolin, a great American like me.
You can be a great American too. Listen to Bill Cunningham tomorrow at 12 noon on 700 WLW.
Make this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be beautiful weather, though. We'll take it. So it is going to be hot, though, for this 4th of July weekend is your wallet. All right. Lots of barbecues going on out there. Yeah. I'm having one. You're having one. Here's the cost of popular cookout foods from last year to this year. Overall, popular cookout foods rose 17% in price from last year to this year. Beef, of course, leading the way. 2 pounds of ground beef right now, average U.S. retail price, $11.12. I mean, $11 for 2 pounds of ground beef. And this is, I'm sure it's not like, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished.
This ain't what you get at Jeff Ruby's place if they make you hamburger.
Correct. That's up 36% from last year. 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breasts, $9. That's up 33%. 32 ounces of pork and beans, $2.53. Sounds kind of low still, but that's still up 33% from last year. 3 pounds of center-cut pork chops, $15.26. That's also up 31%. And the list goes on.
Eat some popcorn and like it.
Yeah, some pasta, right. Tofu and those are all good barbecue food.
Go in the back and pick some daisies, and there you go.
Call it a day.
It's better for you.
In other news, I know Ed, we're going to be talking to ABC later. Did you hear about that that cruise ship that hit the iceberg?
Yeah, we were supposed to be talking to Alex Stone here in a little bit about it. I'm kind of curious about it. I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. But I got a story here about this is aboard a Carnival cruise ship. Where a massive brawl erupted in a nightclub early Tuesday on the Carnival Magic cruise just off of the New York Harbor as it was wrapping up its 8-day cruise through the Caribbean. It has emerged the brawl was triggered after some passengers engaged in a threesome, which enraged their significant others, leading to 40 to 60 people involved in an all-out slugfest.
This sounds like there was more than a threesome going on here. Yeah.
Two people began scuffling on the nightclub dance floor, and the altercation then rapidly got out of control. It began on the fifth floor of the cruise ship and lasted for an hour, ending up on the first floor of the cruise ship by the time things were settled out. Video shows security guards clearing out people and getting their hold of everybody. After the fight, the Coast Guard escorted the ship to the dock in Manhattan. Now, I've been on a cruise ship one time. We went on our honeymoon. We went on a, you know, whatever, 6-7 day deal through the Mediterranean. And on a cruise ship, had a great time. But I couldn't, that'd be pretty wild seeing just a 60-person brawl. 60-person brawl anywhere is kind of cool. But on a cruise ship?
Dude, I've been on many cruises. And for one thing, the people on the cruise, for the most part.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They'd be hitting each other with their walkers and stuff.
There's a that's Keck. Enter it now.
Eddie and Rocky taking your calls about fireworks. Experiences you've had over the many years, maybe when you were a child. And again, we're not taking calls about sticking a cherry bomb and
bottle rocket
in a squirrel's butt. None of that stuff. But just stuff you've experienced or seen. 749-7800, the big one. And, Rock, I wanted to go right to the phones and get to Jake in New Carlisle. Jake, you've been there a little bit. Wanted to get to you. What do you have, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Rocky, you're going to like this one. Hey, by the way, I wanted to thank you again for that book that you sent me. We talked a little about family, God, and guns, a little bit of bourbon. And just finished up your book the other day, man. Really enjoyed it.
Good deal. I appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. So every year we have a 4th of July party. We go get a bunch of fireworks and stuff. And I'll go and I'll get roughly about 3 pounds of tannerite. So what I do is I'll separate the tannerite into three different canisters, about a pound each. And then I'll duct tape another canister of red powder, white powder, and blue powder to each one of those. Jeez. And every time, you know, right before we get the party started, we'll play the national anthem. And I'm sure you guys know the Whitney Houston version at the Super Bowl back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Iconic. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the best ones. We always play that one. And right at the end, I time it up. I've got a star 16 with suppressor on it. And right at the right time, I'll hit boom, red, boom, white, boom, blue. And everybody goes crazy. And that's how we always get our 4th of July party kicked off.
God, that's awesome. I love it. I'd love to be there.
All right.
I've got a video of it. I'll have to message it to you. So you got to check it out. Man.
Please do that. Great. We're both on Facebook. Do that. Thanks, Jake.
Good for you.
Let's go to, is it Mike? Mike in Western Hills. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, yeah, I was
10, 12 years old, had a whole pack of jumping jacks go off in my hand. Didn't quite get rid of them fast enough. And wow. Blistered the hell out of my hand. Ever since then, I could care less about fireworks.
What are jumping jacks? I've never heard of that.
They used to spin around and just go... Just those things. All over the ground. Yeah. A whole pack went off in my hand. Blistered it.
Oh, I thought... And thanks, Mike. Turn your radio down, as we say in radio. But I thought he was talking about firecrackers, because I was throwing a black cat. We used to just light them and, you know, just threw them. I'm not saying I would throw them at my brothers, but they would throw them at me. And then
it may
or
may not have happened.
Then I might have to reciprocate. You know what I'm saying? but I lit this fuse and it went like... And I think it was about a half inch away from my fingers. And I remember I was probably, I bet you 12, 13. And I remember I remember how much it stung, for one thing.
Yeah.
My whole hand was tingling. And there were powder burns on there. That's how close it was.
I had the same thing happen and was lucky I didn't have my hand gripped tight, or I could have really, blown something off. But yeah, I mean, to this day, I don't mess with the... Look, you saw the picture on that I put out there. I went to Rozzy's and loaded up.
Oh, right? I did see your picture.
I got some pretty big stuff, but I don't mess with the firecrackers. I mean, the wicks on those things are about a half a centimeter long, and they're paper wicks. They're not even like the wax ones. So you got to light those things and go.
You get rid
right
of them,
now. Yeah. It's too risky. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. For somebody who's not your Facebook friend, it's easy. You can find it quite easily. General Patton over here apparently is ready to invade Canada with what you picked up the other day.
I'm invading Indiana. You know what? It's been too damn long. I'm on the Ohio-Indiana border, and I want your land, and I'm going to take it, okay? And I have the arsenal to get it done. I'm tired of playing around. The day has come, Indiana.
The war between the states is back. Oh, man. Let's get to Brett. Brett, is it? What do you got, buddy?
Hey, my brother and his friend, my friend had a VW Bug, and him and my brother was in the VW Bug, and they had a brick of 500 of the blackjacks, and somehow a mascot accidentally dropped into that brick while they were in the VW Bug.
Oh, man.
And my brother's door was locked, but George got out on the driver's side and closed the door, and everybody just dying laughing, but all we could see was smoke. And then all of a sudden, here comes George's windshield flying over the top of the hood. My brother kicked it out.
Wow.
Yeah, dang. And he got out. It was funny as it can be, but George didn't think it was so funny after his windshield landed on the driveway.
That's an overall bummer, man.
I did that to my dad one time in our house. We didn't have, there wasn't carpet on the ground. I wasn't that stupid. But my dad's birthday was on the 4th of July, and he was still in bed. And I lit a pack of firecrackers and put it outside his bedroom door.
Of course.
Which my mom didn't think was very funny either. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I thought it was cool. Happy birthday, Dad. And no, he wasn't pleased.
Didn't work.
No. Let's talk to Ben. What do you got, buddy, there in Bethel?
Okay, back when we were 18s, 19s, and 20s, we decided to play Army and had a little war on the 4th of July, and we were shooting bottle rockets out of a station wagon at the guys in the yard, and the guys in the yard just sort of lay in the ditch, kind of, and when we came up, they threw a whole pack of jumping jacks inside the station wagon we was driving, and we had to jump out when they started going off, and the car just kind of rode down the road till it went in the ditch.
So they threw those spinner things into your car?
Yeah, a whole six-pack of them.
Dang.
Yeah, a whole six-pack of them. Yeah, no, there could have been LSD involved in this party. We were not too, we were tripping a little bit that night, so.
Well.
understand there's some and drinking excessively, I'm sure.
Well, Finn, hey, I can't think of anybody who is listening to us right now who hasn't done acid and gotten drunk and played with fireworks.
That's the American way.
That just seems like a natural to me. Crikey. Let's talk to Jim and Mason. Jim, thanks for calling, buddy. What do you have?
Well, this was back in the early 70s when M80s were M80s.
Oh, yeah.
And we were riding around.
Well, Jim, describe to people who don't know what an M80 is. It's basically
a quarter stick of dynamite.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Well, we were riding around, throwing around, and the guy throw it out the window, and the window was up. And it bounced and hit on the floor. You talk about loud inside of a car, and the flash is just unbelievably blind you. And the carpet caught on fire. So.
Were you guys drinking at the time?
Doing LSD at the time, Jim, by any chance?
Thanks,
Jim. Yeah.
throw this out the window. Tink. Oops.
Yeah.
Bounce right back in your lap.
Well, that's like when you try to throw something out the window, but you got the window down. Sometimes you have the window down and you throw something out the window and it goes into the back seat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We were driving down the road on my way to my grandma's house, and me and my two cousins were sitting in the back seat, and my mom hit a bumblebee and it ricocheted off the windshield and came into the back seat, landed on my cousin's thigh. And his last dying thing was to sting my cousin on the thigh. And that bee was the size of my freaking thumb. I'm not kidding you.
Well, it was murder hornets before they were popular.
He made kind of a yelping noise. Let's talk to Larry. Larry, thanks for calling, buddy. What do you have?
There was a kid that used to live down the street from us in our neighborhood, and he was one of the biggest pain in the you-know-what. And six of us got together and decided that we were going to drop a brick of fireworks into his mother's mailbox. Well, the mother, she made handmade wicker mailboxes, and we dropped that brick of fireworks into that mailbox, and it was less than toothpicks when it got done. Three of us went to the door. Three of us were lookouts to find out. And when that thing went off, everybody in the neighborhood came out because they had no clue what was going on. And it wasn't on the 4th of July, so it kind of got us all in trouble. So the cops showed up. We had to repay for the mailbox. She said the mailbox cost $10. She got a water jug full of $10 in pennies to pay for this mailbox. Nobody in the neighborhood cared for this kid, and he was a pain. He got exactly what he deserved. And then there was my brother, who he was a pyro, so he figured it'd be a good idea to take another brick of fireworks, cut them all up, and take all the gunpowder and put them into one cylinder, put that cylinder under an aluminum garbage can and light it, and we didn't think the garbage can was going to go about 15 or 20 feet in the air, but it did. And that got that got the police brought over to the house because it was a thud that went off that sounded like a gas line blew up. That was a good one. It was a good one.
Larry, thanks, buddy. I love that. My brother, he's a little bit of a pyro. let's get one more call I think we got time for. Hey, Joe in Fort Wayne, what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, so mine is one of those stories. When you're a kid, nothing you did was an accident. It was always intentional in your parents' eyes.
And then you pretend it was an accident, of course.
It's 4th of July. We have company at the lake. Everybody's lined up down by the waterfront in lawn chairs. I have two M80s. You know, they used to come glued together accidentally. So I thought, oh, that's easy. So I light them. I throw them the opposite direction. The first one goes off, launches the second one all the way down to the people sitting in lawn chairs, and it goes off right by my grandfather's ear.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, they just were certain that that was intentional. So
what happened to you, man? Were you punished, or did you admit that you did it?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, I told them what happened, but they weren't having it. But eventually the drinks took over and they forgot about it. So, and that's when I made my way to the cooler.
Excellent. Excellent, nice. Joe. Thank you. So, yeah, I got really – we used to – we always had fireworks. My mom would go out. There was a place – I forget. I don't know the name of it. I doubt it's even there anymore. It was on the west side of Dayton. And she would go out and – like I've told you before, you would have to sign – my mom would sign some paper that you were taking them out of state and da-da-da-da-da.
Of course.
And we were sitting there at our house in, when I was a little kid – and we lived on a dead-end street, and my mom bought fire. She didn't buy, like, we didn't have the boom, the stuff that you've got, you know, the right, rod. Yeah. You've got the EBN fireworks in your garage now. I don't know where you're storing it. But
I was sold.
But she
didn't know about it.
But she would buy, I bet you, a giant brick of firecrackers for sure, and just stuff like that. And we were out there blowing stuff up right and left. We had cherry bombs and that kind of thing. And the cops did show up on our street, on that dead-end street. And my mom is sitting on my that's where my grandma and grandpa lived next door to us. And she's sitting on their front porch. And, of course, my mom's sitting there with a lap full of fireworks, of firecrackers. And they're all sitting there smoking cigarettes. My mom's smoking cigarettes with... just fire with fireworks sitting in her lap.
Sitting on her apron or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. Didn't care. You guys, if you need anything, come over here. Okay, thanks, Mom. And the cops came and said, are you kids shooting off fireworks here? Why, no, officer.
Wouldn't dream of such a
thing. It smelled like a World War II battlefield.
A smoke and like ashes
exactly.
in the air.
Nothing to see here, officer. We're going to be talking to our good friend Alex Stone after the news, but now we've got traffic. Rob, what is going on, buddy?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Urology provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit uchealth.com for details. Well, there's a lot of traffic on the highway, so expect delays, especially on 75 and 71. 71, there's an accident before the lateral. It's got the right two lanes blocked, and traffic is heavily backed up toward Martin Luther King. A 25-minute delay there. They've cleared the accident east 275 in Kentucky before the AA. Traffic remains a bit slow between 75 and Madison Pike. Everything much better on South 471 from Grand on down. There's heavy traffic on the eastbound side of the Norwood Lateral right now. Northbound 75, very heavy from Mitchell on up to 275 Sharonville. There is an accident on South 75 at 2nd Street. It's got the right lane blocked. Traffic is slow to Hopple Street. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
Their center for tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low of 74 tomorrow, partly cloudy at 92. It is 91 now, News Radio 700 WLW.
Linda, how'd you like stars in the morning?
Stars? You only get those at night.
What about Chuck Ingram?
The traffic star?
Seg Dennison?
The sports star?
Jennifer Ketchmark?
The weather star?
You can have all those stars in the morning.
Come on, Hollywood doesn't have that many stars.
But Mike McConnell in the morning does.
Did you hear that, folks? We can have stars in the morning.
Get stars in the morning with Mike McConnell. Tomorrow morning at 5 on 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by INX International. Now hiring. Work less and earn more with INX International. INX has manufacturing positions with
1913. A ship crashes into an iceberg? Alex Stone.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a good opportunity to do this, right?
Iceberg, what ahead!
I'll spare you the Titanic music, but I don't know. Did you ever go on that cruise? I remember the beginning of the pandemic. You guys were getting ready to go, and all your phones started ringing. Did you ever go, end up going on it?
About earlier in the year. I mean, it took like two and a half years to finally go on a cruise.
You didn't hit an iceberg.
But we weren't where the icebergs were. We were down in the Caribbean. And if they're, if people are doubting climate change, we'd run into an iceberg in the Caribbean, I would be asking some major questions.
Yeah, that would be a big news story if an iceberg went floating by there. So, yeah, this was quite the cruise. 1,900 passengers, the Norwegian Sun, they left Seattle. They were going to Alaska doing their normal, you go to Juneau, you go to Ketchikan, you go to Skagway. They went into the ice fields where cruises go. You go and you see the glaciers and everything, them calving and coming up. And they hit an iceberg, actually called a growler, a smaller iceberg. And they just got back to Seattle right now. This happened a week ago, over a week ago. We're right about it. And they slowly, first they went to Juneau to be checked out. And Coast Guard said, you got to go to Seattle. So then they slowly made their way 10 miles an hour to Seattle. Took a number of days. Lionel Hoffman was on board. She got off the ship today in Seattle, and she said this.
We're all here having a great time, and all of a sudden the ship hits an iceberg, which, by the way, is your greatest fear when you're on a cruise ship, am I right?
I mean, I guess so. I would think like norovirus, right, falling overboard, but right. For her it is hitting an iceberg.
Unruly passengers.
I was on an Alaskan cruise a few years back. I never once thought of hitting an iceberg. Never crossed my mind.
No, I think I've done in my life probably two or three of them. I never thought about that. I thought it was pretty amazing how they avoided them when we went into the ice field, but I never thought about what if we hit it. She said this.
We really felt the impact on it. It jarred us. It almost knocked us down. So it was big.
Yeah, and we're hearing that from a lot of the folks getting off today that they all felt it. Susan Kirk was on board.
Suddenly there was a ka-thunk, and everybody's eyes got very wide. The crew did not know what was going on.
Yeah, another guy told us that the ship listed to the side. They immediately stopped going, and they knew something wasn't right. So they skipped their next stop. Then they made their way to Juneau very slowly, not wanting to damage anything if they had a problem. Captain told everybody they needed to be examined, that they were going to port. So they sat in Juneau. Then that decision was made. They got to go back to Seattle. Coast Guard said safe, but don't go very quickly. Go slowly. So it took a number of days. And then they got back to Seattle this morning. And Norwegian is saying next cruise is canceled. They got to figure this out. They don't know the extent of the damage. Everybody arrived safely back in Seattle today. They're all fine. They were refunded their money, given money for a future cruise. So Lionel was asked, you're going to go on another one?
Well, it'll deter me from going on a cruise with icebergs again. But not in general, right?
Yeah, so, stay away from the icebergs. In the end, everybody tells us there were a million Titanic jokes on board when they knew that they weren't going to sink. That they say that everybody was joking about it. They got a lot of time on the ship since they had that very slow journey back. Generally, they say it wasn't that bad. They didn't get to go to a number of stops that they thought that they were going to go to, but they said they had a good time on board, and they had a lot of Titanic music playing. They said people on their phones were playing it as a joke, walking down the hallways, but they're all okay now. But they hit an iceberg, a growler, but they hit an iceberg, and they lived to tell about it.
Well, I mean, can you imagine how drunk people were? You're just stuck on a boat. You got nothing else to do. Sit around having some cocktails, making Titanic.
You're barely moving.
Right. Making Titanic jokes, just like, okay. Good luck, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody getting off in Seattle today seemed angry about it. They all kind of laughed about it, and they were telling their story about feeling it. And, it may be hard to hear over the phone here, but this is what it sounded like. Somebody was recording when they did it. Listen to this. I mean, it was like a growling, scraping, booming sound when they hit. And everybody said they immediately knew it had been really foggy. They went into the ice field, and there were icebergs all around them, and they were dodging them. The fog started to lift, and then they all felt it, and then felt the listing, then heard that big rumbling, scraping noise, and they knew, oh, no, that's not good. And it wasn't good, and we don't know still the extent of it, how bad it is. Norwegian said that they've got to figure that out. They don't know.
Don't they have some kind of sonar that would have said, hey, there's a big giant thing in the water a quarter mile from here?
I think they do when they're in port. You know, now they can scan it and figure it out. And, yeah, if there's not a big hole in the side, I don't think they know how bad it is. And they weren't taking on any water or anything like that. So they got to visually look at it, then scan it and do all that. But I think it's hard to do when you're cruising along, and maybe Juno didn't have what they needed. And so they went back to their home port, and they're going to figure it out there.
All right. With that, Alex, we will let you go.
You got it. One more time. Wait.
Iceberg, burn ahead!
Oh, bye, guys.
Thanks, Alex. Iceberg.
Do you like that movie? Am I one of the few people in the world who doesn't like that movie? The one with DiCaprio? It's
extremely too long. Oh.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not into the soap opera kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it was okay.
The part where the boat is crashed is cool.
Right.
Exactly. Let's check in the traffic now. Rob, what is going on? We'll be talking some baseball next.
Oh, we got a lot going on. A lot of accidents causing delays on the highways. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Urology provides expert care for urologic cases, including prostate conditions. Visit uchealth.com for details. On North 71, they've got that accident moved off to the right shoulder. Traffic's recovering from Martin Luther King. There's an accident eastbound 275 before Loveland Madeira Road, close to a 20-minute delay there from 71. An accident northbound 275 before Milford Parkway, a 15-minute delay there from towards Eastgate. And the accident continues to be worked on South 75 at 2nd Street. The backup there goes to Hopple Street. Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low of 74 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and 92. It is 91 now. News Radio 700 WLW.
Hey. It's Windy City action.
Way back there. Go!
Redlegs are in Chicago for an NL Central matchup with the Cubs.
Got him! What a play!
I'm so excited I may not sleep tonight. I better wear my extra comfy jammies.
Been there, done that.
Get the call live from Wrigley Field tonight at 7:05 on 700 WLW and 700 WLW's live stream on the iHeartRadio app.
Make this the year you go to our iHeartRadio music.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.